Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy.
Can I have 30 minutes? I was hoping for a bigger yes, but that's fine. I want to finish today. I did not know when I started this that it would kind of turn into a mini series, but we've been talking about prayer. Last week, we talked about how that God has designed us to pray in the Spirit. And can I just give a testimony? We had many people last week receive a prayer language for the first time right here at Makers Church. Come on, somebody give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. I hope that this week you have made room and you've had the courage to try and pray in the Spirit, and God has come in and done a supernatural thing. But today I want to do two things. I want to talk about five different kinds of prayer quickly, and then I want to share with us how to pray, because I understand that we're in a place, because if I'm honest, the church has not done a very good job of discipling its people on how to pray. We tell everybody to pray, but we don't always tell them what that means to actually pray and how to pray. So I want to talk about a few things this morning, and so I want you to take notes. I've got some scriptures, some slides, but I want to share with you quickly, and then we're just going to pray together today and thank God for all that he's done. But I want to start here because we're still talking about when we pray. Somebody say, when we pray. Now make it personal, when I pray. When I pray. Matthew 6, we're going to start right here. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. Jesus says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Look to your neighbor and say, don't be a hippo. Come on, tell them. Some of you, I really appreciate how literally you literally to your neighbor and said, don't be a hippo. Good for you. You shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, you go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Come on, pray that with me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Somebody say amen to the word. Amen. So Jesus is talking about prayer, and we've been talking about prayer. How many of you guys are continuing to say yes to the power and the purpose of prayer in your life? The power and purpose of prayer in your life. Prayer does something that nothing else can do. Prayer does things that nothing else can do. Not some of us, but all of us must become people of prayer. Was Jesus a person of prayer? If Jesus was a person of prayer, how much more do we need to be people of prayer? If Jesus valued prayer at that level, we must value time in the secret place with the Father. We must desire to make the secret place a desired place that we may be saturated in prayer. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. It is time that the people of God stop just having a prayer time and you start having a prayer life. You start having a prayer life where there is an unusual commitment to pray. An unusual commitment to pray. Well, Pastor, usually I pray for about 5 minutes. You know what? If you've just gotten saved, I celebrate that you're praying 5 minutes. But if you've been saved for years and you still pray 5 minutes, you need to reevaluate your priorities. Because the longer you walk with Jesus, the more you should recognize you need to be with Jesus and live like Jesus, so your prayer time's gonna grow. If you believe that, somebody say amen. We must be people of prayer. And I wanna talk about quickly today, I wanna talk about five things. five different ways or lanes of prayer. There's more than this, but I want to show it from this text today that we can see it together. There are specific types of ways that we should be praying and we can pray. And so I want to teach you about these things this morning as we get into this. So if you've got your Bibles, I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And while you do that, I'm going to get my water. Somebody gave me a cough drop. Thank you so much. That was adorable. I appreciate it. I don't know who it was. And if it was a man, thank you for being adorable. That's awesome. Because men love being called adorable. No, they don't. All right. Five different types of prayer. I'm going to show you from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Here's what the text says. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? By prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In that text, there are four different types of prayer. In that text, there are four different types of prayer. And not because they're different words, but they're every time it's a different Greek word that talks about prayer. And I want to show you today, and then the last one we're going to talk about is intercession. Somebody say intercession. Intercession is also a type of prayer. But the first word I want us to see right there is, but in everything by prayer. So that first word, prayer, that is the Greek word prosuche. And so you can see it right there. That's the Greek word. That's the Greek word for that word, prayer. And what is this type of prayer? This is intimate time with the Lord. This is not a prayer full of these and thous. This is a face-to-face, heart-to-heart time with the Father. How many of you guys know we need intimate time just talking to God? Because here's the truth. God is our Father, but he's also our friend. And so this is a type of prayer that you should be having on a consistent basis. You should be talking to God. Pastor, where can I talk to God? Everywhere. What can I talk to God about? Everything. You want to know why? Because God cares about every detail of your life. He loves spending time with you. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden before they screwed it up? I'm still upset with them. That God would come down in the cool of the day and he would what? He would walk with them. You got to remember something. God designed humanity because God wanted a family. He wanted a family. And so what would he do? He would spend time with Adam and Eve. Well, we know that God desires to spend time with us. How do we spend time with God? In prayer. And so this word right here, prayer, it is an intimate time that you share with God. This is not really a prayer time with a lot of other people. This is just you and the Father. Listen, you need time with just you and God. Come on, somebody. You need time where it's just you and the Lord. Well, Pastor, should I pray with my spouse? Of course. Should I pray with my kids? Of course. Should I pray with the people of God? Yes. But sometimes, just like Jesus, you need to get away and it just be you and the Lord. That's this type of prayer. It's an intimate time with the Father that you just get into the secret place and you just spend time with God as a father and a friend. Listen, we should do this on a consistent basis. Do this on a consistent basis. This is the first type of prayer. The second type of prayer you see in Philippians 4, 6 is supplication. Supplication, that's a second type of prayer. The Greek word for this is deesis. Deesis. You can see it right there. That's how you spell it, but that's how it's pronounced. Deesis. How many of you guys know I did my homework so I could pronounce these Greek words? Come on. Because I don't speak Greek. I barely speak English, so I grew up in the South. So I barely speak it correctly. But it's the Greek word deesis, supplication. Listen, supplication is a type of prayer when there is a need in your life. Supplication is a type of prayer when there is a need in your life. When a person comes to God in supplication, they will plead strongly with God for a need that needs to be met. They will plead with God strongly for a need to be met. Listen, if you are praying in this manner, if you are having a time of supplication with God, you need God's immediate provision and attention. How many of you guys know that when you ask for those things, God does it? But this is a type of prayer, supplication. When you get to a place where you have supplication with God, you are in need of God's immediate provision and intention. This type of prayer is very intentional. This type of prayer is very focused. This type of prayer is determined and serious and earnest. And you say, well, Pastor, why does this matter? Because sometimes we get shy with God about the things we need in our lives. How many of you guys know He knows our needs before we ask? So why should we be shy about what we need God to do? But we need to go to God. Listen, do you pray in doubt or do you pray in faith? You pray in faith, but if there is a need that you need God's intervention, you need God's attention, you will go with Him through supplication and you will ask God and ask God to come in and do what only He can do. You have to not be shy, bring it to God. Listen, you have to ask God and you have to trust God. Come on now. A lot of times we'll ask God, but then we won't trust Him that He's going to do it. So you know what we do? We'll pray and then we'll go to plan B. How about you pray and then don't go to plan B, because plan B is not going to be as good as if God answered the prayer to start off with. Pray, ask God and trust Him. But this is one. Listen, let me give you a verse where it talks about supplication. It's the same Greek word, James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Listen, the earnest prayer, that's the same Greek word there, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Pastor, if I'm in need, if you're in need, should you just pray the first prayer? No. You should have some supplication time with God and be okay with bringing it to God. Why? Because the Bible says that He will meet all of our needs. But we've got to pray and invite Him into those things. Amen? Amen. So we've got prayer, we've got supplication. The third thing that we see, the third type of prayer this morning that we want to see is thanksgiving. See, in Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And then it says, with thanksgiving. Somebody say thanksgiving. How many of you guys know it's more than a holiday? Come on. It's my favorite holiday. I get to wear my big comfy shirts that day and eat all I want to. Let's go. Thanksgiving. Now, this is one. Listen, I'm going to talk about this one because sometimes this is one that is overlooked by the people of God. Yet it might be one of the most important types of prayer that we could have. Because how many of you guys know if there's one thing we should constantly be with the Lord, it's thankful. There's one thing that we should constantly be with the Lord. It is grateful for who He is and all that He's done. But we should pray with thanksgiving. So listen, the Greek word here for thanksgiving is the word eucharistos, eucharistos. And again, you can see it on the screen, eucharistos. This is the kind of prayer where we thank and praise God for who He is and what He has done. This prayer doesn't have a need. This prayer doesn't have a want or a desire attached to it. Rather, you are just taking time to appreciate God with a heart of gratitude. To appreciate and honor the Lord with a heart of gratitude. You say, well, Pastor, what should I be thanking God for? How about the fact that He saved you when He didn't have to? How about every time He has provided, every time He has protected, every time He has healed, delivered, done the miracle, made the way, intervened, and did what only He can do? This is the kind of prayer that we should be having on a consistent basis, isn't it, church? Thanking Him for who He is and what He's done. Because how many of you guys know there's no God like our God? There is no God like our God. And so when we come with thanksgiving, it is a prayer that declares God was good, He is good, and He always will be good. He always will be good. And so when you come with thanksgiving, you're not just thanking Him for what He's done, you're giving Him praise and thanksgiving for what He's going to do. Because how many of you guys know, if you have breath in your body, God's not done with you yet. I am very convinced that you don't breathe your last breath on this earth till God says your assignment is complete. Your purpose is fulfilled. Now, we don't get to dictate when that happens, do we? No, we don't. I will tell you, one of our elders so eloquently, I do this now all the time, John and Joe Hutzel, they said, we always pray that people will have the fullness of their days on the earth. I pray that prayer every day for me and my family. I'm like, God, I don't know how long it is, but may we have the fullness of our days on the earth. And then I say amen. But listen, thanksgiving, this type of prayer is one where we're thanking God, not just for what he has done, but what he's going to do. There is a joy and a trust in this kind of prayer. Why? Because knowing that God is going to do what he has promised, he will do it in every part of your life. Let me show you this type of prayer in the Bible. Psalm 103, some of us know this from verse 1-5. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord, and may I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. If that's your thanksgiving, somebody say amen in this house. And as I get older, that last one gets more important. Come on, somebody. He renews my youth. Every time I go to the gym, I'm like, Lord, thank you. You're renewing my youth right now. Because sometimes it hurts way more than I wanted to. Can I get a witness from somebody? Thank you. Everybody that's a little older said amen to that. But that's thanksgiving. That's the type of prayer that is for us to be a part of on a consistent basis. Number four is request. Somebody say request. Now, I'm giving you the root word of that word request, the Greek word, aiteo. You can, again, see it on the screen. You say, Pastor, those are not pronounced correctly, then take it up with Logos. That's the Bible software that I use, and you may know more than them, but I don't, so I'm telling you what they told me. Aiteo is the name. This is a type of prayer that is a request. This word literally means to be adamant in requesting and demanding assistance to meet tangible needs. This type of prayer means to be adamant in requesting and demanding assistance to meet tangible needs. What are tangible needs? Food, shelter, water, finances. Listen, in the New Testament, a person who insists or demands that a specific need be met after approaching, this is what it means. Let me back up. This word right here, in the New Testament, this Greek word means that when a person who would insist or demand that a specific need be met after approaching and speaking to his superior with respect and honor. Why is that important? The last four words of that sentence are important. With respect and honor. So this is a prayer. How many of you guys know the Bible says we can come boldly to God? Come boldly to the throne of grace. The Bible says that. But anytime you come and you're adamant about something, you're fervent about something, you're passionate, you're perseverant, you should still always come in a position of respect and honor. Because he is God. And we cannot and should not ever lose the fear of the Lord, should we? Now, I've taught about this, but how many of you guys know that just like the love of the Lord is foundational, the fear of God is foundational? And we should all operate with the fear of the Lord daily. But this type of prayer request, it is an adamant, it is a consistent prayer that you take, but it comes from a place of respect and honor. This is important because many times people bring this kind of prayer to God without taking the time to honor and reverence God first. God knows what you need, but don't listen. How many of you guys have had kids and your kids came up and demanded something without honoring you? In my house, they don't get it. Come on. They're going to honor and they're going to respect mom and dad. But listen, so God is our what? Father. God is our Father. Should we not honor and respect our Heavenly Father for everything he's already done? Listen, he wants to meet you at the point of your need. He wants to fulfill exactly what you need, but you've got to go from a place of respect and honor. And it's so important that we recognize even with this type of request, this type of prayer, while we come with honor, listen, while we come with honor, we should also come with full expectation that what is being requested will be granted without hesitation. Again, if you're going to pray, please pray with faith. If you're going to ask God for it, please believe that God's going to do it. Well, Pastor, do I get to tell him when I want it done? No. But God knows the time even when you don't. God, listen, God's timing is better than yours. That's the one thing that I've been preaching since I was a youth pastor. We want to trust God with every part of our lives except his timing. But his timing is perfect like every other one of his attributes. So even when you have a request, you come with this type of prayer to God, you should come with expectation and then trust God's timing. Let me give you a Bible. This is a type of prayer request. Psalm 66, verse 17 through 20. The psalmist said, "For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God, who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me." The psalmist cried out for help, but he was also praising him as he was crying out for help. So he came with an urgent need, an adamant need, but he did it with respect and honor. And if we're going to have these types of prayers, we also have to have respect and honor. If you believe that, somebody say amen. Number five. This is not in Philippians 4, 6, but it is in the Bible. It's this prayer of intercession. Somebody say intercession. Okay, this word's a little longer, as you can see. Let me make sure I pronounce it right. This is the Greek word huperentunkon. Sounds like Mad Gab, doesn't it? Huperentunkon. That's the Greek word for intercession. This type of prayer shows up in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The Old Testament and the New Testament. You say, well, Pastor, what is intercessory prayer? What is intercessory prayer? Let me explain it. Intercessory prayer is praying, petitioning, and humbly asking God on behalf of a person, on behalf of a city, on behalf of an issue, on behalf of even a nation. Intercessory prayer is about standing in the gap. Intercessory prayer, listen to me. Intercessory prayer is us understanding that we are raising ourselves up to the point of getting the mind of Christ for another person, getting the mind of Christ for our city, getting the mind of Christ on an issue. Because when we stand in the gap, we can't see it from our perspective. We have to see it from God's perspective. So when we intercede, if you're called to be an intercessor, if you're stepping into a place of intercessory prayer, you're understanding that you need the mind of Christ to stand in the gap for those that you are praying for or for the things that you are praying for. How many of you guys know that Jesus makes intercession for us? So see that. Jesus intercedes. He sits at the right hand of the Father and he makes intercession for us. He is still standing in the gap for us to the Father. And so listen, just like Jesus is an intercessor, there are times that we operate with intercessory prayer. And so it's important for us to understand that we must have the mind of Christ. You say, well, Pastor, how can I have the mind of Christ? It's real simple. You ask. You say, God, give me the mind of Christ for someone that, give me the mind of Christ for this person that's walking through this. Give me the mind of Christ for our city. Give me the mind of Christ for our nation. God, whatever it is, God, give me the mind of Christ that I may be an intercessor on their behalf. I may stand in the gap and pray for whatever is taking place. How many of you guys know we need intercessors for the city of Cincinnati? We need intercessors for the United States of America. We need intercessors for Maker's Church. We need intercessors for what God is doing. Hey, God may have called and anointed you to be an intercessor for your family, for your children. You may be an intercessor, and there might not be another intercessor in your family, but God's anointed you to be an intercessor, one who constantly is making intercessory prayer on behalf of something or someone else. So just like there are different types of prayer that we see in Philippians 4, we also see there's a type of intercessory prayer of standing in the gap. Did you know there was a time when there was a lack of an intercessor and it caught God's attention? Isaiah chapter 59, look at this, verses 15 and 16. Says, so truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Listen to me. May it never be said of us and this church that there are no intercessors. May there always be intercessors for Maker's Church. And listen, I believe there are intercessors all over our city. But I will tell you something, we must be intercessory prayer warriors for the city of Cincinnati. We must be intercessors for this region that God has called us to win for the kingdom of God. Not some of us, all of us. Some of us may have more times of intercession, but we must say, yes, if God is leading us to intercede and he gives us the mind of Christ for something, we must do that. Did you know that God will give you the mind of Christ for intercession sometimes even if it feels like random moments? Did you know that? I'm gonna tell you a story. And to this day, it scared me, but I'm grateful. So it was a year and a half ago, and I was driving home from an elders meeting. And luckily, our elders are great elders, so it was a good meeting. Praise the Lord. And I was driving home, and then I got this picture in my mind. And this does not happen to me very often to this specific way. I got this picture of my son in an ambulance and on a hospital bed crying and reaching out for me. Well, in that moment, he was riding home from play practice in somebody else's car. And listen to me, I began to weep and pray in the spirit over my son. For 15 minutes, it came on me out of nowhere. I saw that picture and I could not contain it. I wept and I prayed in the spirit for 15 minutes over my son. And when I was done, I called Melissa. I said, baby, I said, is Brennan in the car right now? He said, yes. He said, this neighbor was bringing him home. I said, I need you to call her right now and check on her. So she called, and Melissa called, and she said, hey. She said, thanks for calling. She said, I've been getting a little sleepy. I've had a long day. You tell me that was not intercession. You tell me that God did not stop me where I was driving down the road and pray in Jesus' name over my son, because there's no telling what could have happened had someone not stood in the gap for his life in that moment. Intercession is real. And when we understand that God has called us to have sometimes intercessory prayer, we must say yes, because you don't know why God is asking you to intercede. So we must have these different kinds of prayer makers, church. And this isn't all the lanes, if you will, of prayer. But those are several, okay? Let's go back to Philippians 4:6 really quick. Let's visit them one more time. Throw that scripture on the screen for me. Be anxious for nothing. Somebody say amen to that. But in everything by prayer. What is that prayer right there? That is intimate time. Getting into the secret place, just you and God, that's prayer. The second thing, with a prayer and supplication. What is supplication? When there is an urgent need and you are taking it to God and you're trusting that God's gonna do it. Then thanksgiving. We are thanking God with a heart of gratitude, thanking him for who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do in Jesus' name. Then let your requests. What is that request? Those requests, those are things that we need with adamance and persistence, but we're doing it with respect and honor unto God. And then finally, intercession, that we are standing in the gap for a person, for a place, or for an issue that God has given us the mind of Christ on. Those five things right there. Listen, all five of those things are things that we should understand. God desires us to be people of what? Prayer. People of prayer. Now let's get to the last thing. You say, well, Pastor, that's great that those are different types of prayer. How do I pray? How do I pray? Some of you could probably teach me how to pray because you're very seasoned in prayer. But for those of you in this room, when I talk about prayer and you say, I don't really understand yet how to pray on a consistent basis, I asked the Lord to help me and give me an acronym that literally was the word pray. So he did. And if you don't like it, you can take it up with him. But I asked him. So I want you to throw that acronym on the screen. Pray. How do we pray? Here's what we can do. P, profess. What does it mean to profess? It means to openly declare something. So what should you do when you pray? Should you openly declare that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of your life? Should you openly declare in prayer? Listen, should you openly declare that God is your Father and the Holy Spirit is your Comforter who leads you into all truth? Yes, you should. So when you pray, take a minute before you do anything else and just begin to openly profess and declare who God is and who you are in him. Thank him for those things. And notice the other thing. After you profess, have a time where you're praising God. That's that time of thanksgiving where you're saying, Lord, thank you for what you've done. God, thank you for how you've worked. Thank you for how you've moved. When you want to pray, have a time where you profess and praise for who God is and what he's done in your life. Okay? So we can all start with professing and praising God for who he is and what he's done. R, request and recite. What does that mean? Well, we just found about request. If you have requests for God, don't be shy. Take them to him. Talk to them. Talk to God about the things that you're making requests for. He knows what you need, but that does not mean you should be silent. That means you should make a request unto God with what you need God to work and intervene in your life. Pastor, what does it mean to recite? Let me tell you what that means. How many of you guys know that you should actually pray the word of God? Some of us don't do that, but there is power in praying the word of God, line for line. Like, tell me it's not powerful if you open up to Psalm 23 and say, Lord, thank you that you are my shepherd and I shall not want. Lord, thank you that you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Pray the word of God. Go pray 1 Peter 2:9. Lord, thank you that I am chosen, I am royal, I am holy, and I've been called out of darkness into your marvelous light. You need to recite the word of God. You can recite. Listen, you can find texts and scriptures and pray them. I believe you should pray Psalm 91 over you and your family all the time. Recite the word of God. So after you make your request, also take some time and get out your Bible and recite God's word. Pray the word of God. Pray the word of God. So you have a time where you profess, you praise, request, recite. Then we get to A. How about abide? How many of you guys know the Bible says in John 15, Jesus said, if you'll abide in me, I'll abide in you. What does that mean? Prayer is an activity, but there should also come a time in your prayer life that you just take a minute and you stop talking and you just abide in the goodness of God and you listen. Because here's the beautiful thing about God, that if you'll make time to listen, he will speak. He will speak. See, to me, this is one of the biggest things that a lot of people don't do when they pray. They make time to tell God everything that's going on with them and then they shut it down and they move on to something else. But the truth is, if you're gonna have a prayer life, you should take a minute and abide in the truth and the goodness and the power of the Lord and get ready to listen for God to speak to you. The reason I have this acronym right here is because I prayed and then I shut up and I listened. And then God spoke and I wrote it down. Some of you need to take time to listen because God is still speaking today. And he wants to speak to his people. Remember, when you get into the secret place, God is already there and he reveals secrets in the secret place. But you've got to take time to abide and listen. And then finally, why? This is important because the position of your heart, yield. What does it mean to yield? It means to surrender. That in your prayer, you are not coming in thinking that you're the senior partner in this relationship, but you are surrendered to God's will, God's way. And as you're praying, you know that you are talking to the Lord. And listen, when you are surrendered, there's this other side of this. Throw that back up there. You almost got me. Throw that back up there. That you also trust. That you trust. Do not end your prayer time without making a decision in your heart that you trust God with the details. Do not end your prayer time without making the decision in your heart that you trust God with the outcome. Because if you pray and then you trust plan B more than you trust God, then what was the point of praying? Trust him. So surrender and trust. Now listen, I think this is pretty simple. Does this help anybody when we're talking about prayer? It's simple, but it is significant and supernatural if you'll take it and apply it. Pastor, I've never been much of a prayer. I'm gonna tell you like I did about praying in the Spirit last week. Have the courage to try. Have the courage to try, and you will find out that you were made to spend time with God. If you believe that, somebody say amen. Come on, stand to your feet all over the room in this house. Two things. The Lord's given me something that I want to close with, and then we got to share with you about Cincinnati Alive. That's why Jeff and Tiffany came to share a little bit about what's happening in October, and then we're going to worship God in giving today. Listen to me. We keep talking about prayer because prayer must be a priority. Do you remember a few weeks ago when I shared with you what the Lord told me about the next 5 years for Makers Church? Miraculous multiplication. Somebody say miraculous multiplication. I need you to put on your spiritual seatbelt. It's about to be a wild ride for Makers Church. If you say, Pastor, do you have any initial evidence quickly? Yeah, I remember when we started these service times that we had to rope off the back section because everybody sat in the back and the front was empty. Honey, look around. It's done got filled up in first service too. Why? because God is preparing this house to do supernatural things for the kingdom of God. And he keeps saving and sending people because we are a growing family with a kingdom assignment that I believe is going to shake nations for the kingdom of God. We can't walk in those things and we can't see those things without prioritizing prayer. Without being committed to prayer, even growing in our commitment to prayer, Makers Church, it's not enough to pray one time a week. We gotta pray on a consistent basis. Let me tell you this story, because I found it three times this week, and the third time I was like, okay, God, you're talking to me, I'll share it to the people. And then in 1940, there was a young man named Billy Graham. I say young man, and listen, nobody knew his name in 1940. He was going on in college, his professor was taking these men and women of God to significant places where revival had broken out throughout the world. They found themselves in the home of John Wesley. And they went up to the room of John Wesley. How many of you guys know who John Wesley was? He was a revivalist that saw revival come to England and come to America. He started the Methodist movement. He was a reformer. God used him in a supernatural way. Well, they went into his room, and there was a place in John Wesley's room where the carpet had been worn in two specific spots, because that is where John Wesley would kneel by his bed and pray. Like, it was literally, the imprints were there. And they all got time to look at those things. Then they all went back to the bus. And the professor noticed he was missing one. So he went back into the house looking. He went back upstairs and he found young Billy Graham with his knees in the same place where John Wesley's were. And he walked in and he heard Billy Graham crying, God, do it again. God, do it again. God, if you did it then, you can do it now. God, do it again. Can I tell you, I believe that must be the mantra of Makers Church in this season. God, if you did it then, you can do it now. God, do it again. God, save again. Heal again. God, restore again. God, win cities. Send revival. Send a harvest. God, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. But it will not happen if we don't be people of prayer. It will not happen if we don't be people of prayer. So here's how I want us to finish this moment together. That in our hearts we say, God, do it again. God, what you've done before, God, do it again and do it in greater measure. I believe revival is coming to Cincinnati in Jesus' name. I believe revival is coming to America in Jesus' name. I believe there are millions and millions of people that are about to step into the kingdom of God. And it is our assignment to make disciples and make a difference. We declare, God, do it again. Come on, I want you to lift your hands all over this house. I want you to make a commitment right now to say, God, I will be a person of prayer, and God, I ask that you do it again. God, just like you've done before, God, do it again. God, bring, God, a desire for holiness again. God, bring a desire for prayer again. God, bring a desire for the people of God to be committed, God, to prayer like never before. God, even today, the heart of the cry of our heart is, God, do it again. God, do it again. God, do it again. God, do it in Cincinnati. God, do it in this region. God, do it in Eastgate. Do it in Milford. Do it in Batavia. Do it in Amelia. Do it in Newtown. Do it in Loveland. Do it in Mason. God, do it again. May we encounter the power of your Spirit. May we encounter the glory of the Lord. God, today we ask that we would see your fire fall. We would see your glory come, and we would see the goodness of who you are and the kingdom of God advance in supernatural ways in Jesus' name. God, do it again. God, do it again. Come on, say, God, do it again. Put your hand over your heart. God, do it again in every heart. God, stir up every heart in this room to pray. Stir up every heart in this room to profess and praise. Stir up every heart in this room, God. God, to make requests and recite the word of God. Stir up every heart in this room, Lord, to abide and listen. Stir up every heart in this room, God, to yield and trust. To yield and trust. God, do it again. Give us a passion for prayer. A passion for prayer in Jesus' name. God, do it again, that we may see the fullness of what you've called us to see. Miraculous multiplication in Jesus' name. If you believe that, somebody say amen.